Now that the hardest part's over, now I can actually start the easy part. How that man can move me, can move mountains. Okay, let me just get the sticky thing right. Great. So we're all good. I think just time check, we don't actually have a lot of time today, so I'm going to get straight into it, no backstories. So the topic for today is dancing with depression. It's a big one. And you know, I'm honored to just share how I've experienced depression myself. And I think I'd just like to pray for a moment. Yes, Father, you're always with us, even right now and always, Lord. You go before us, Lord. You know our past, you know our hearts, Lord. And I just pray just for healing. Even as I'm speaking, Father, I just pray healing of the hearts, healing of the minds, healing of the spirits, Lord. Your Holy Spirit is moving with us. Even right now, your power to just raise the dead is even here, right now. And you can do anything, Lord. And I just pray if there are families here, and if there are people here who need healing, that your Holy Spirit comes now. It comes now upon us right now. And it heals us. Even right now. Amen. So, let me just jump in straight into my story. So, I drew this beautiful graph for Shane Crompton because I know he has a logical mind. So, instead of just, you know, speaking from the heart, I was like, Gus, I'm going to use Shane's technique here. And I broke up my story into kind of emotional states in my life. And look, I'm writing a book actually about, it's called Listening to Your Music, and I really go into emotions and different emotions, but just for the sake of today, I just split it into, you know, these kind of states, even having barely functional on there. And we'll go into the first sort of 15 years of my life. You can see that I really lived in peak joy. I'm a joyous person, and my childhood was amazing. And if you might ask, what's that little dip there? Oh, I just broke my arm and I couldn't play tennis, you know. And we'll go into the next. I'm looking up to the age of about 29-ish. And another big peak there, you'll see, is university. I absolutely thrived at university in that first little section there. Even more than when I was a kid. It was like a kid with money. So that was amazing. And then I went into my first kind of depressive phase, I would call it, because after university, you study these things, and then it was like, what am I going to be doing with my life? You know, I don't know. And for many months, I was just watching a lot of TV. And in hindsight, a therapist would say, oh, look, you were depressed. But at that time, I was just like, let's watch a lot of TV. You know, it didn't really register to me. And then I went into another nice peak there, back into joy state. I moved to Cape Town. Bevan spoke about it as the wilderness. But I was peaking with joy, nonetheless. And then back into another trough in my life, my first job. After just living in the lap of luxury for so long, having to actually start working properly. And I worked for a pie company called Pie City. And that wasn't what I imagined for my life. And so, again, I just remember being in very neutral states. And I didn't have a lot of the joy that I have today. Then I went into another big peak. I entered advertising, and I really thrived there for many years. Just, I know to this day that God had me there for such an amazing reason. And then came some interesting things. Looks like a heart monitor. And as you can see, I was off the graph, below barely functional. So let's have a look at that first one. Got diagnosed with Epstein-Barr virus. Glandular fever. Tough times, chronic fatigue, ME, burnout. I was barely functional, to say the least, during that time. You know, like, we have depression and then you have, can't get out of bed. And it really felt like the wilderness, because the worst thing is you feel alone. You're not alone, but you feel alone. That's difficult. Then I thought I was going into a turning point. And after that, my mother committed suicide.
Yeah.
And I just feel like feeling this, you know, because I haven't owned this properly. And what a journey that was, you know. I lived with someone very close to me with depression for 5 or 6 years. And my mother threatened her life many times. And that's why I tell people, I've studied at the University of Depression firsthand. No, I know what it looks like. And anyway, I went into what I call the dark night of my soul. And I remember being ill and saying to God, walking outside and going, God, I'm at rock bottom. I can't do my job. I can't do my business. I can't get out of bed. Why do you forsake me? And then after my mother, I was like, God, I'm not at rock bottom. I was like, only you know what rock bottom is. Only you know. And it was at that moment in my life, I surrendered my life completely to God. I just said, I have no control. I know I've gotten myself into this mess, you know, and I have no clue how to get out of it. There's as intelligent and as smart and as thriving and the gifts that you've given me, I actually have no idea what to do. None of my own smarts could save me. And I really gave my life to God in the most kind of extreme, but also not way, which I gave my personality to God and said, you know, I don't need to be a trail runner. I don't need to run nonprofit organizations. I don't need to be a guy who's trying to bring joy to the world. I just need to be your son. And when I did that, I began to climb out again. And to be honest with you, the last 2 years I spent mainly just in joy again. That childish joy, waking up in the morning, just singing, being grateful for all things, big and small, just giving thanks every single day. And so, you know, that's been my journey thus far. And God has put in my heart, he just said, Daniel, you know, you need to testify about this. And you need to share what you know about depression, because there's a reason that I've taken you into this, because you are the one who needs to bring light to the thing that is in the dark. You are the one who needs to bring the light. And so I'm not scared to talk about it. I'm not scared to talk to suicidal people whatsoever. And I also want to invite you after this, because I'm watching the clock there as well. I don't have a lot of time. It's such a vast topic. It's huge. It's massive. It's global. Not only is it wide, but it's also very, very deep. And if you want to connect with me, I'll be sitting over there afterwards just to have a nice friendly chat. And so I'll go into what did I learn. Well, I learned a lot of things. I learned what a crappy human I was. But more than that, I learned to completely surrender my life to God. And this is one of my favorite scriptures, which is for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will save it. And I really know what that means because I've experienced it. I said to God, I said, take my life. I'm done. I'm done with it. You know, in a way I committed suicide because I just said, I'm done. And that was my personality which needed to die so that I could crack open and I could be standing here today. Because church would never in my wildest dreams ever have been something that I would want to do. Because I saw the church as being like boring and I was like, I don't need my relationship with God. I already have one. But this is what happens when you allow God to truly work and you die unto yourself. He can take you into places that you never would have dreamed that you would be doing in the first place. Like standing here today. The second important thing I learned was God did not create depression. I did. Yeah. I'll just let that sit. So how did I create depression? The major influencing factor, and there were many unhealthy habits, trust me. But the biggest factor was just separating myself from God, because I know that if I spend time with my Father, then I am in the kingdom. And if I am in the kingdom, then what am I experiencing? Love, joy, peace, abundance, the glory of God. So I knew that somehow I had stepped out of the kingdom during that time, because I knew that the way that God had created me was not to be experiencing what I was busy experiencing. There was a better way. So I'd like to take a look this morning just at a biblical look at solving depression, because, you know, you can read up so much about it and you can consult with doctors and everyone has their own opinion. And I just would like to share what God put in my heart about depression. The first thing, you know, I spoke about separation. So what does separation look like? And Paul just says so nicely in Galatians, when he's talking about the flesh, you know, and that's for me the quickest way. It's like jump into the flesh, cool, and operate from the flesh. Very quickly, you will end in a place of separation. Jump into the spirit. Very quickly, you will return into the kingdom. So I just wanted to see what Paul was saying about this, you know. And he was speaking about acts of the flesh are obvious, impurity. And I was like, hey, that's just as relevant today as it was back then, because what we know what's impure, what we're putting in, you know, according to the media we're consuming, the things we're watching on the internet, we know what's impure, like according to the foods that we're putting into our bodies, you know. So there's a couple others like jealousy and envy, and I was like, you know, if these are the driving forces for the reason that you're still inside your job because you're envious about what other people have, there's no doubt that we would end up in a space of depression. There's fits of rage there. If you're experiencing rage and it's been around in your heart, I have no doubt that not working through that resentment is just another hook that the dark forces can use to start to play with your mind, you know. There's drunkenness, our old friend, you know. And the next is selfish ambition, which I feel like is really alive today as much as it was back then. And it's just like, I have someone in this church coming to mind. There's a word for you, but I'll save it for afterwards. And I'm just seeing this person striving in his business, like I have to get there and I have to get to the next place and I have to do this. And then I want to say, do you have to? Is that what God wants for you? Is it? Because there's a very big difference between God's ambition for your life and your own personal ambition for your life. And Paul says, those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. And therefore, not inheriting the kingdom of God, things like depression can creep in. The good news is, what does union look like? Okay, here's a nice little sweet dove. And we all know it. The fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace. So if we're not living, I'm not saying experiencing once off. I'm saying if we're not living in love, joy, and peace, it just means like sometimes we're kind of like entering and exiting. And that's cool because it's a dance. That's why I call it dancing with depression, you know. But the good news is like there is this base of love, joy, and peace, which you can wake up with every single day of your life, which is what I'm experiencing at the moment of having been through this stuff myself. Constant love, joy, peace. So how do we return to God? Sing a time check for you there, good sir. I mean, it's so vast, so I'm just doing the best that I can with the limited time that we have here. For me, the first and foremost, remember your true identity. What is your true identity? You are a perfect child of God. Genesis, God created us in his own image. Was God depressed when he created you? You know? No. He created you with love, joy, and peace. You have a perfect mind already. At present, you may have a chemical imbalance right now, but that's something that you're moving through, you know? Because the way that God created you was perfect. You are that perfect child of God already. You know, you have this beautiful mind because he created you with a beautiful mind, and it's simply just about returning to that beautiful mind that he created you with. And I find this so liberating because the doctor said to me, you have ME, you will never, it's a chronic illness, he has a book on cancer, you'll never get over it, you won't die, but you'll never get over it, you'll never run again, you'll never do anything again. And I was just in my mind, I was like, that's not how God created me, to not do things again. I'm perfect. You know, he created all the beings, he created the lions perfectly. When you allow a lion to do exactly what it needs to do, it's perfect. When you lock a lion up in a zoo, what happens to the lion? It becomes sad because it's not doing what God had intended for that lion to do. You know, and I was like, I am a lion of God and I will be strong. And 2 years ago, I did a 5-day hike and I remember that doctor's voice and I was like, look at me now. Look at me now, 5 days, bro. Not even like the run around the block you said I would struggle with. So the next step for me in returning to God is, one, creating time to listen to God. And I am going to go a bit quicker over these things. I can even send you this if you want to look at it, if anyone wants to look at it. But it's about creating time in our busy world to hear what God is saying to you. And ask God where he is leading you, which was like one of my biggest struggles, which is not where I thought I needed to be in my comfort zones, but God might lead us away from our comfortable realities, you know, to wearing this funny earpiece and standing up here with Shane Stan. He might just lead you here, you know, and also with your gifts, you know, your gifts of prophecy, your gifts of piano. I was even just listening to Nikhil, and I was like, that guy's born to be a preacher. I'm like, look at him. He just stood here, and he was like, so I was like, I hope I can be like that, that calm and that peace. And we all have these gifts from God, and I feel like if we're not using those gifts, then we're not doing what God has called us to do. And if we're not doing what God has called us to do, it's only natural that we would be unhappy. Cool. So we jump onto the next one. And I also wanted to just touch on, you know, like, what did Jesus say about all of this? You know, what does that Jesus have to say about depression? And we know the classic second commandment he gave us, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I really feel like in the church, in my experience, we've skipped over one of the most important parts, which is loving thyself. You know, Jesus said it. He said, love thy neighbor as you love thyself. And when I see people loving their neighbors badly, I'm like, it's only because they don't know how to love themselves. You can't give what you actually don't know. You know, and I feel like it's so important and it's been lost. And God highlighted this to me when I was putting this presentation together. You know, he's like, speak about this, Daniel. I sent my son to say this. Listen to this part. It's important. And so I put up there, loving thyself. Are you taking time to just do some exercise? What nutrition are you putting in your body? A simple change in diet might be the thing that takes away your whole depression. You know, I don't know. Only God knows. Your mind, your heart, your relationships, your purpose. And I'm just going to jump to the next slide here. And what did Jesus say about loving thy neighbor? And I feel like this is also highly important, and this church does it really well. And the first point is just about loving others. And I believe that our neighbors are our family are our closest neighbors, you know? And it's like, how do we love our family first? Because if you love your family first and that relationship's healthy, as George Bernard Shaw said, a happy family is but an earlier heaven, you know? And I feel like we start in ourselves and we start in our families. From there, that love can just really begin to grow. Being open and willing to be in relationship with all kinds of people, making effort to be in community and being touched by others, which I mean by that, just being vulnerable, you know, really expressing yourself. Like, if you need to cry, gotta cry. Otherwise, that kind of stuff just builds up and it builds up and it compresses our minds, you know, just, thank you, Lord. What did God say? Oh, I love it. God said, be still and know that I am God. Of course you did. And for me, that is the last thing in returning into union with God, is resting and relying in God. And I feel like this is one of the biggest ones, which is, it's that your journey through depression is completely unique and only God can carry you through it. There's not a, like, one band-aid fits all, one medication solves all, you know. For me, there's a time for medication when you're getting down to that pit, barely functional, psychiatric ward, you know, retreat center. There's a time for medication. And then when you get to a time that you can begin to pray again and you feel like, okay, that connection's back, I'm not so lost again, then that's the time to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, because God knows what's in your heart. He knows what's in your mind, and he knows that you're depressed. He knows what you need financially, spiritually, mentally, you know? And I think for me, it is one of the most important things to understand that, like, my depression was unique, my mother's depression was unique, and your depression is unique. It's unique specifically to you, and only God knows what is right for you. And I'll jump into the next thing, which I'll just show you, which was, you know, what made me better. One, I changed the food I was eating because God just brought me all these recipe books and I was like, I don't cook. I'm a busy man, you know. But then again, I had to cut out the dairy and I had to cut out those things for only the reasons He knows. I healed relationships with those around me. I built relationships with those around me. I started listening and acting on what God was calling me to do, not what I was wanting to do. And how I know this so well is just when I feel fear, I'm just like, oh Lord, it's right at the edge of my comfort zone there. And I started expressing myself a lot more. I started crying more. I started just doing things differently. You know, I just started expressing what was on my heart, and that made me better. And that's my unique journey. What do you need to do to get better? You know, or your family or your loved one or someone that you know. And I'd like to ask the question, which is, have you in any way been affected by depression? Can you just raise your hand? In any way, by a family member, by a work colleague, by a friend? So this is a thing for me. It's like these kinds of things are what could help the people around us get better. Rethinking your job. Start teaching. There's so many people in this church with so much wisdom, and I'm like, you need to start teaching because one, I need to know that, and two, you're going to light up because you're doing God's purpose. It's about sharing our gifts, you know. Maybe it's something to do with deliverance. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Maybe it's finally telling your husband how you feel, which maybe is more scary than deliverance. I don't know. But only God knows. You know, and this is like 4 out of 4 million things which might be right for you. And if you do these things, God said to me, you will be restored. You will be restored to that perfect child of God that perfect child that I created you to be. You will be restored to peace. You will be restored to love. You will be restored to gentleness, to kindness. You will be restored, and your mind will become that beautiful gold star. And I'd like to leave you with one of my favorite scriptures. It's 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if you don't believe anything that I've said today, the word of God says you have a sound mind. And I'm just inviting you to return to that place of soundness, because it's waiting for you and it wants you. Cool. So it's my little summary, the next slide. And yeah, I'm just going to end with a prayer, if that's cool. Okay. Yes, Heavenly Father, just thank you so much for this time today, Lord. Thank you for bringing the people today, Lord. Thank you for just bringing this wisdom and this knowledge, Lord. And more than anything, thank you for bringing your light, Lord. And your love and your peace is just waiting for us, Lord. The kingdom is just waiting to receive us with these heavenly gates, Lord. Because as we stand here, we are all believers in Christ, Lord. We know that Jesus died for us, Lord. And I just pray that right now the right revelations are happening in the minds. The right revelations are just happening in the hearts, Lord. And I just pray, Lord, if anyone comes to see me after this, Lord, that you give me your words, Father. That you give me your words to speak to your people, Lord. May I just be a vessel for you today during this Sunday service. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.